Today's scripture reading is found in John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him beats much fruit, for without me you can do nothing.
Happy Sabbath. Now we're going to take this time to pray. Please bow your heads. Merciful, loving Father God, we come to you and ask that you be with us and work through us, Lord. We ask that you give us a humble spirit, meek spirit. Help us to be like you, strive to be like you, thrive to be like you, Lord. We pray for these young, from the smallest baby to the oldest teen, that they will stay faithful to you, that they will serve you, that they will love you with all their heart and bring your truth to all the world. Lord God, help us in our walk with you as adults, that we will continue to strive to follow you, to put you first in our lives. We ask that you be with us as we continue our Sabbath day. Help us to, not only for today, but as our days continue, that we continue to put you first and praise you, worship you, and share you with others. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
God is good
all the time.
God is good
all the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
You better tell somebody.
We would like to welcome everybody today. Thank you for coming for our Pathfinder and Adventures induction. Did you want to?
I'm missing a sheet, my sheet notes. Anyways, we just want to basically welcome everybody here. I want to especially call out John Chadwick. He's our area coordinator. And Pastor Daniel Ortega, he's the assistant director of Children and Family Ministry. So he's here to do part of our service. We thank you for coming and sharing this time with us. I now call the Pathfinder Club induction and the Adventure Club in session, the induction service in session.
All right. Okay, so we're going to start for our adventures induction. So the induction service is a special time in the adventure year when, in front of family and friends, we welcome new members into the Valley View Adventure Club. At each step of the adventurer's experience, they learn new things and enhance their growth. Our curriculum is based on four areas: my God, myself, my family, my world. During adventurer's years, they develop a better understanding of spiritual things, physical things, and the world of nature around them. It is into this program that the inductees today wish to become a member. Many of the principles that the adventurers strive to live by are illustrated by the words of our pledge in law.
So as you can see behind us is our altar. As in the days of old of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and our high priest, that they had an altar where they have sacrifices and to God and prayed and worship. Today we do not have an altar, but this is just a symbol because at our base we have our pledge in law. And also, if you notice that there's already names on there, there's names from the beginning when we first started. And we continue to pray for these children and staff And also whenever we go to conference, we keep them in our minds and prayers. So this is our symbol to remember God's laws and our pledge that we made for God. At this time, we're going to have our adventure club come up. At our base, we have be obedient, be pure, be true, be kind, be respectful, be attentive, be helpful, be cheerful, be thoughtful, be reverent. And our adventure club will each read a little bit more about what that means.
Be obedient. I will obey God's laws and cheerful and do what my parents and teachers ask me to do. I will obey the laws of my country. Amen.
Be pure. My body is the temple of God, so I want to keep it clean. I will not swear, smoke, drink alcohol, do drugs, or do any other thing God says is not good.
Amen.
Be true. I will always tell the truth and never try to deceive, even if I may get in trouble for it.
Be kind. I will look for ways to make other people happy. I will never hurt a person or animal intentionally. I will share my toys too.
Amen.
I will courteous to those whom God put in authority over me, like parents and teachers, and to those who are younger and weaker than me, like little brothers and sisters. I will take good care of other people's property, even something as small as a borrowed pencil.
Be attentive. I will listen when someone is talking to me at home, at school, and at church. I will especially listen for God to tell me what to do with my life.
All right, you better give your life to Jesus.
Be helpful. I will look for ways to help and not to be asked. I can help family at home, teachers and friends at school, and others in my community. I can even help God.
Amen.
Be cheerful. I will not grumble or complain when I don't get my way or when I have work to do. I will remember that God made me, knowing that makes me happy.
Amen.
Be thoughtful. I will make courtesy a habit, both in words and actions. I will look at ways to be nice to people. I will not be rude or irritating.
Amen.
Be reverent. I will listen carefully to God, His world, and His messengers. I will take good care of my Bible and church property. I will never make fun of holy things.
Amen. Oops, sorry. So now we're going to call up our new members for our adventures, Kevin, River, Raven, and Joe. Rosie, sorry. Pastor, can you? So you can just line up right here. Line up right there. Right there. Okay.
Rose. All right, so up first to receive their membership card and their scarf so they can look all sharp is Rose Clark. All right, Rose, you want to stand right over here on this side of the pulpit, right over here, perfect. All right, we'll get that on for you. Make you all official. And Rose, here is your card, specially made just for you. You can put your name there on the any spot you'd like. All right, and up next we have Kevin. Kevin Martinez, come right up, young man. Step right over here. Congratulations. And here is your card, young man. Here you go. You're official now. Get in trouble, just pull that card out. No, don't do that. You shouldn't get in trouble. All right, up next, let's see, I have three cards, two kids. All right, Raven Clark. And here you go, Raven, here is your card. Stick that on the altar there. Stick it anywhere you like. Oh, that's a great spot. Perfect. Ooh, that's a good spot. Good spot. And then we have Allie Furnish. That's not you? She's not here. Then you must be River Clark. All right, congratulations. Set up right here. Here you go, River. Here's your card, and get your name and stick it anywhere on the altar. And we're going to be praying for you and the rest of your friends.
I would like to call the parents of Kevin and River, Raven, and Rose to come up. So we're going to pray over the parents and their children, please.
Yes, don't be shy. Step right up. Come on here, parents. We would just have a special prayer for parents. You know, parenting is not always the easiest job in the world.
Nope.
And the greatest call we have with our children is to lead them to Christ. We want them to go to a great school. We want them to be good citizens of society. We want them to grow nice and strong and healthy. But what a great responsibility that God has given us to be great parents and to love our children unconditionally the way God has. So let's bow our heads, and we want to pray in a special way for your families. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you this morning for these wonderful young people that are here today. We thank you for their parents, Lord, for the commitments that they have for their children and the desire they have to see their children grow in Christ. So, Father, be with them. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Give them guidance. Give them strength and patience to be effective in the work that you've called them to do. And whatever challenges they might face, whatever struggles, Father, that you would be with them every moment to guide them and to lead them, to show them the way you have for them. We pray for them and we ask for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. And that's the end of our adventure induction. Please keep our club in your prayers. Now is the Pathfinder.
We appreciate your patience. This is kind of a longer program, longer worship service for those of you that are visiting. It's usually getting over about now, but we're getting there. So this is a very special Sabbath for our kids, so we hope you'll enjoy the presentations. Now we're going to start with our Pathfinder induction service. For the light of our program, we now turn to the spirit of pathfindering. That candle now represents this spirit, which is the essence of pathfindering. It is the spirit of achievement, of adventure, awakening and awareness, the spirit of beauty and blessing, commitment, camaraderie, and consecration, the spirit of dedication, duty, and energy, and enthusiasm. But above all, it is the spirit of reverence and the spirit of service to God and to man. But this light of itself does not complete or is not completely sufficient. To introduce the complementary lights, I would like to now call the assistance of my Pathfinder staff. So if my staff can all come up here, that would be great. And if you can tell, we have some people wearing white and blue. Our adventure, they are doing double duty. So pray for these two because they have the adventures and they're helping out with Pathfinder. So I'm very grateful for their assistance. We'll start with, they're going to talk about each of the class levels that we have. We'll start with Selena.
All right. My class is the Friends class. The Pathfinder Friend class is a course of study in spiritual awareness, intellectual learning, manual skills, and physical fitness that will enable the young Pathfinder to be a better neighbor in the church and the community and a friend of God throughout eternity.
All right. This is my first year, as everybody knows. Okay. The Pathfinder Companion class is a course of study in spiritual growth, mental development and learning, manual skills and physical fitness that will enable the growth of Pathfinder to acquire a deeper meaning to life and meaningful companionship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Every hour and every day.
The Pathfinder Explorer class is a course of study in spiritual development, mental growth and learning, manual skills, and physical fitness that will enable the developing Pathfinder to discover new methods and experience new adventures in exploring God's written word and his created works.
The Pathfinder Ranger class is a course of study including spiritual, mental, manual, and physical development that will lead the Pathfinder to new areas of discovery in the natural world together with new and deeper spiritual understanding that will open the way to greater happiness and genuine fulfillment.
The Pathfinder Voyager class is a course of study that will encourage and lead the more mature Pathfinders to dedicate themselves more fully to acquiring a deeper and broader understanding of God through a diligent, consistent study of His written word and the marvels evident in His created works as seen through the books of nature.
Pathfinder Guide class is a course of study that emphasizes personal growth and spiritual discovery. Guides the more mature Pathfinders in the development of new survival skills, nurtures the development of leadership skills, and strengthens the commitment of being a dedicated servant to of God and a friend of man.
The Master Guide class is a course of study including deeper in spiritual insight, greater mental and intellectual growth, and greater and more varied manual and physical skills that will enable the more mature candidate to become a leader and role model who will influence young people and lead them to a greater knowledge and deeper understanding of our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ as creator of the universe, savior and redeemer of mankind, and our soon coming king.
Okay. Thank you so much for the staff. In addition to these are staff that come weekly, every week to teach a class, so I appreciate them very much. We also have supportive staff that are on staff. My husband, Brian Merrills, does transportation and helps out when people are sick. Jason Kivett, my brother-in-law, is also part of our staff, and he is a driver and all-around camping skills person. He is the one that teaches the kids to carry a hatchet and know how to use it. And then we have my nephew James and his girlfriend Jennifer, and they will be helping teach other classes. James helps with marching and drill, and Jennifer will be helping some of the science classes that we need to do because she's that kind of person. I really like her science-y knack because we don't have anybody like that, so we're very thankful for Jennifer. These candles all represent all the good and noble achievements and learning which are embodied in the Pathfinder program. They symbolize both the high ideals for which Pathfinder stands and the growth and achievement that each Pathfinder will experience as members of the Pathfinder Club. We now proceed with the solemn ceremony of the lighting of the Pathfinder pledge candles. And I would like to have all my Pathfinders come up and bring the box to me. I left it. So, come on up. We had to kind of juggle. Some of our kids are missing, so we'll try and get through this with as little hiccups as possible. And we'll start with, and just go ahead, Gio, you're first.
On behalf of the candidates, I pledge, by the grace of God, which means that only as we rely on God to help us can we do His will.
On behalf of the candidates, I pledge I will be pure, which means that I will rise above the wicked world in which we live, and I will keep my life clean and pure with words and actions that will make others happy.
On behalf of all of the candidates, I pledge I will be kind, which means that I will be considerate and kind not only to all people around me, but also to all of God's creation, the animals and the environment in which I live.
On behalf of the candidates, I pledge I will be true, which means that I will be honest and upright in study, work, or play, and will always be counted on to do my very best.
On behalf of the candidates, I pledge I will keep the Pathfinder law, which means that I will diligently seek to understand the meaning of the Pathfinder law, and will strive to live up to its precepts and its spirit, realizing that obedience to law is essential in every organization.
On behalf of the candidates, I pledge I will be a servant of God, which means that I will pledge myself to serve God first, last, and being and best in everything that I may do, that I may be called upon to be or to do.
On behalf of the candidates, I pledge I will be a friend to man, which means that I will live to be a blessing to others, and I will always strive to treat others in the very same way that I would want to be treated myself.
On behalf of the Value Pathfinder Club, I accept the vow of the candidates and their representatives to live by the spirit and principles of the Pathfinder Pledge.
We will now proceed with the solemn ceremony of lighting the candles that represent and symbolize the Pathfinder Law.
Nathaniel. On behalf of the candidates, I pledge to keep the morning watch, which means that I will have prayer and personal Bible study each day. On behalf of the candidates, I pledge to do my honest part, which means by the power and the grace of God, I will do my share of work at hand, and I will always be there when others may need my help.
On behalf of the candidates, I pledge to care for my body, which means that I will be temperate in all things. I will never put anything harmful into my body. And I will always strive to stay physically fit.
On behalf of the candidates, I pledge to keep a level eye, which means that I will not lie, cheat, or deceive. I will always avoid dirty talk or evil thinking and will be mindful to expose my mind of senses only to that which is true, noble, just, pure, lovely, and a good report.
On behalf of the candidates, I pledge to be courteous and obedient, which means that I will always be kind and thoughtful toward other people, reflecting the love of Jesus in all my dealings and association with others. On behalf of the candidates, I pledge to walk softly in the sanctuary, which means that I will always be quiet and reverent in the church, and during all devotional exercises or worship services.
On behalf of the candidates, I pledge to walk softly in the sanctuary, which means that I will always be quiet and reverent in church and during all devotional or worship service. On behalf of the candidates, I pledge to keep a song in my heart, which means that I will always be cheerful and happy, so that the influence of my life will always be like rays of sunshine to others.
On behalf of the candidates, I pledge to go on God's errands, which means that I will always be ready to tell other people about Jesus, that I will always seek to go about doing good to others just as Jesus did.
All right. On behalf of the Valley View Pathfinder Club, I accept the vow of the candidates and their representatives to live by the spirit and the precepts of the Pathfinder Law.
It is our prayer and our commitment that we as Pathfinders and staff will strive to live by the principles set out by the Pathfinder Pledge and Law and be about our Father's business in our homes, church, and in our community. It's now time for us to invest our newest member, Nathaniel. You want to hold that?
Yes.
Thank you. I'm going to ask you now to light your candle as you are now joining officially the members of our as a member of our club. How many other people out there have been in Pathfinders? Can I see your hands? Look at them. You belong to a long line of Pathfinders and Pathfinder staff and a worldwide organization. We welcome you to our club. Okay, Shamar?
Your light is now added to the others, already burning brightly in our club, in our church, and across the land. And I solemnly charge you in the presence of these witnesses and to let your light shine before others in the spirit of pathfinding, that all may see your good works and may glorify our God who dwells in heaven.
All right, you can go ahead and take your seat. But before, actually, you need to stay and you need to stay. The rest of you can take your seat. Shamar, stay with me. We had a couple of Pathfinders that gave their lives to the Lord and they were baptized recently. So we are going to give them their pins, which I think are in my pocket. All right, that's it, you can take your seat. We have a little bit of unfinished business to our induction service. There's one candle not lit, and that is the TLT candle. Shamar has completed the teen leadership program and is finally ready to receive his completion pen and pencil. The teen leadership training program is a 4-year course designed to train and mentor and challenge the teen Pathfinder with new and meaningful responsibilities in the Pathfinder Club and Pathfinder Ministry and in the mission and outreach of the church. The program promotes the development of life skills, a sense of achievement and responsibility, a greater understanding and respect for authority, and a progressive development of leadership skills acquired and enhanced through the actual supervised participation in real and meaningful positions of responsibility in the Pathfinder Club and in the church, thus providing the development of the next generation of leaders and assuring the successful passing of the torch of leadership. Shamar, we know that you would have loved to have Pastor Randy here, and I forgot my phone. Can you bring my phone? Pastor Randy here to invest you with your hard-earned pen and pencil. But he couldn't be here in person. However, he sent a message for us to share with you today. I forgot about this part, or I would have had my phone. So, let me go to Pastor Randy. Give me a minute. Sorry. There we go. So, Pastor Randy has been a good mentor to Shamar and just given him a lot of really good advice and encouragement, as well as others in church, Charlie Little, Reedy's, Kevin Jepson, they've all been instrumental in helping Shamar along his path in this leadership ministry that he embarked on. From Pastor Randy, Shamar, congratulations on completing the TLT program. It takes determined effort to finish, especially during the last 2 years. Determination is a quality that I pray you carry with you as you enter the next chapter in your leadership development. As God has called me to a new ministry this year, he also calls you to take what you have learned and apply it in service to others. We craft the TLT program to help you learn to lead a Pathfinder Club. And if you help in a club, that would be awesome. But if not, I hope you join us in our fellow church members and use the skills you have learned to proclaim God's love. You have learned to be creative, organized, team builder who is responsible, and aware of others' safety, along with many other qualities of leadership. I challenge you today to determine to improve your new skills for God's glory. As you look back over the last 4 years, I am sure you can think of many fun moments that you had in this program. Leadership is fun. Being okay with trying something new and learning from it is fun. Take your successes, and more importantly, take your failures and do something positive with them. So proud of you, Pastor Randy. So with that, we're going to go ahead and give Shamar his pencil and his pen. Amen. She said I'm just too short. That's not right.
Okay. Okay. Shamar, I know we're short on time, but is there anything you'd like to share about your experience as a TLT or going through the program that you've learned? You'd like to share?
It's so surreal. Like, all the staff there for TLT, and they're so helpful. John, for instance, he's helped us through tons of things. There's tons of, there's a lot of learning curves that you have to go through. They literally throw you in with the sharks, and you just, like, have
learn to present to the board, huh?
Exactly.
The church board's kind of scary.
Especially if you're kind of scared of being up front. They just, like, this is what you're doing, and we're like, all right. There's no answer. There's no to it.
Okay.
For you Pathfinders that are just now joining, I highly recommend doing the TLT program. And there's other TLTs out here in the audience that have gone through the same program, and it's life-changing. It changes your life and changes your perspective and the everyday walk of life. So I really recommend it.
Shamar, go ahead and add the light to the TLT program, and that concludes the Pathfinder induction service. Oh, that concludes. I have staff. Selina and Lasagna, come here real quick. It's your Pathfinder. They're going to trade temporarily their maroons for their... Concluded. Pastor Dan, we are happy to hear you speak.
Before Pastor comes up, sorry. All right, I want to introduce our speaker this morning. Pastor Danny Ortega was invited to serve as Associate Director in the Family and Children Ministry Department. His primary focus will be on the club ministry, Adventures and Pathfinders. Pastor Daniel has been described as energetic, of course, and passionate, and he's excited to join the Oregon Conference team. He comes from the Oklahoma Conference, woohoo, where he has been serving as Youth Director and Communication Director. So he started here at our Oregon Conference in April. His lovely wife, Yesenia, I'm so sorry. Yesenia. And two sons, Benjamin and Isaac, are right in front of here. He loves this ministry. He loves dark chocolate. Am I right, Pastor? Who doesn't love dark chocolate? He joins right in with the kids. He plans to attend as many adventure and Pathfinder events as he can. He preaches every single Sabbath. God is good.
And all the time.
All right. Thank you, Pastor.
All right. Well, hey, thank you so much. I know time has gone by, but we're going to just do something a little bit different this morning. I've actually asked my son. I don't think I need this microphone, right? I can move this one out of the way. I've asked my son to help me this morning with a part of the sermon. So we're going to get this to the side here. We're going to put this table here in the middle. Since it is Pathfinder and Adventure Sabbath, we're going to do something just slightly different. We're going to put a tablecloth, Benjamin, so you want to help with that. Did you wash your hands, Benjamin? Yes, okay. So that's very important, right? I first want to say, before I share, it's not a really long message, before I share, I just want to say thank you to this church for being intentional about your young people and your children. I'll be honest, I travel to a lot of churches. In fact, every Sabbath I'm somewhere different. Even when I was in Oklahoma, I was often traveling to different churches. And often I would arrive at a church where there was no young people. There was no children. I remember one church in particular. I won't say what church, but there was a church where I traveled where the youngest person was 60 years old in that church. And we have to be intentional about our young people, not just as a church, but also as parents. As a parent, I want my children to academically do well, to be healthy, to be great members of society, to be socially able to communicate to their neighbors and friends. But I want more than anything for them to be in heaven and to meet Jesus, right? I want more than anything for them to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, right? Not just to know about Jesus or to do certain rules and guidelines and practice certain things, but actually to have a relationship with their Lord and Savior, to know Him personally, to connect and truly have that relationship allow them to live out their Christian experience. So I love that a church is intentional, that you guys are even taking time during your church service to put young people up front and center, allowing them to be the church, right? Now, they're just like part of the church. No, they are the church. They are the church just as much as anybody is the church, because God loves young people as much as He loves the older people, right? God loves all of us. He loves the whole world. So I wanted to put that out. I also want to say thank you to the church for your hospitality. I travel to a lot of churches. And you can begin, Benjamin. It's probably in one of the other bags. Can you help us with that, please? So we're going to look for a knife, because the knife is going to be important for this project. So I will say I've been to a lot of churches, and probably this church is probably in the top two churches in the last 6-7 years that I've been traveling to churches in terms of their hospitality. Being so generous, I mean, not only did they get us a basket of snacks when we got to our hotel, but you guys brought us breakfast this morning to the hotel, so thank you guys so much for your hospitality. But anyways, I wanted to share an experience that I had when I was actually starting out as a pastor in Oklahoma, a little town called Davis, Oklahoma. And I had just gotten married. As a matter of fact, my wife and I, we got married. And the same evening we got married, we drove to our first district for the first time, a new state, new career, because I used to be an architectural designer before I became a pastor. So I started a new job, a new place, a new church, new community, all these different things. So we started to, we had the idea of having a garden. Has anybody here liked to do gardening? Anybody here like to do gardening? Well, we decided we want to do a little garden. I used to live in Mexico. My grandfather had huge farms, and I would help out with, you know, collecting the corn and cleaning up the beans and all that kinds of stuff. My dad and I would do gardens in my yard. My wife did a lot of gardening with her family when she lived in Mexico. So we know about farming, right? We know how to do a garden. Like, we're like pros at this. So we decided we're going to do a little garden. And I remember we had like our little rows, and we had like rows for tomatoes, and we had some cucumbers. I'm not sure why, but we did strawberries in Oklahoma. But anyways, we did strawberries. Somehow how much we really need, right? And then we were going to have like 3 lines of peppers, because coming from a Mexican family, we love hot sauce. Anybody here like hot sauce, spicy food? If you don't, that's all right. You'll go to heaven too. So we love hot sauce, right? We love hot sauce. And any kids like spicy food? You guys don't like spicy food? Ooh, there's some of you guys. Ooh, okay, you guys like spicy food. So when I finished putting all the seeds, because, you know, whenever you're going to plant, have you guys ever done any gardening? Have your parents ever taught you? Oh, yeah, you can put it up there. My family doesn't find it. So we had these little seeds, right? And you're supposed to put them inside the dirt, like a certain depth, a certain spacing from each other, right? Just so they don't get overcrowded and they're right depth, they can come out and spring and all these. So when I was done putting all the pepper seeds, because we had like 3 different kinds of peppers, the last one, I had the whole bag was, or the little paper bag thing, it was basically full still because I had not that much space. So when I was finished, I had in my hand a bunch of little pepper seeds. Like, oh man, what am I going to do with these? I can't just waste them. So I just threw them. I said, they're not going to grow. So I just threw them. I just threw them in the area. So a few weeks went by. I watered it. You're supposed to water the plants and take out the weeds, all these different things. And after a while, these little plants started growing just in odd places in my little garden. So I was like, oh, man, are those the peppers? Did the peppers start to come out in different spots? And then where I actually had put the peppers, nothing was growing. So I'm like, what's wrong with this? But all these other little plants started to come up. And I told my wife, man, these pepper seeds that I just threw must have, you know, germinated, must have started to grow. And those are the ones that we need to make sure we take care of. The rest of the stuff, it was okay. But so I was very proud of my pepper plants, right? So I transposed them to the right place where they're supposed to be. So now I had these nice rows of these nice green, lush little pepper plants that were growing. And I was so excited, and like neighbors would come from, like, or church members would come by our house, and we would show off our pepper plants. We tell them, whenever they grow, we're going to get you guys some really good hot sauce. But that's what we told them. So we started to take care of them, pull out the weeds, and they started to grow. And then the flowers started to come from these plants. And I told my wife, that means that the peppers are about to come, because the flowers come, and then after the flowers come, then the peppers will show up. And she's like, oh, okay. You know, I was trying to teach my wife how to do gardening, right? So here I was, really excited about my plants, and then the flowers started to die. I said, ooh. And then, like, 2 days later, like, it seemed like another set of flowers. I told my wife, oh, it's the second set of flowers. That's what happened. It was the second set of flowers. After that, the peppers will come out. And they were growing big, and they were coming out a little bit bigger than I thought a pepper plant should be. I was like, that's kind of odd. So I didn't pay much mind, and I kept on watering it and cleaning it. I would talk to them and everything, you know, because they were my pepper plants. I would tell them how excited I was to see them grow up. Oh, my cute little babies. And I was so excited about my pepper plants. And then one day, I went to the back part of the house. I was doing some cleaning. And then I saw my neighbor out here. He was doing something. And when I was over here by the back, like in the alley over the fence, you know what I saw? Those pepper plants that I had grown, there was a bunch of them in the back part of my house. Like, and I thought, no way. Did the wind carry all of these seeds and transpose them all the way over here? It's like, there was like 20 or 30 of them. There was like a lot. I was like, how in the world did it happen? I was just looking at him, and I was kind of starting to clean him up. And the neighbor's like, say, hey, Daniel, what are you doing? He's like, look at all these pepper plants that are growing over here. They must have blown over from my garden when I threw the seeds. And I told him how I'd thrown the seeds and all that. And he said, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, come look. So he came and looked, and he looks me in the eye. He says, Daniel, that's probably one of the most common weeds in Oklahoma. And those weren't even pepper plants. They were just weeds. So all my precious pepper plants were just some really good Oklahoma weeds. And I was so disappointed in my pepper plants. And honestly say, the rest of my garden for that matter. But whenever you grow a garden, whenever you grow a plant, it's important to know what you're doing, at least to have some general idea. Now, in my pocket, I have something. I think it's in here. Does it look I have anything in here? Do I have anything in there? Can you see it? Can you see it now? You know what kind of seed this is? Pepper plant, yeah, right? That's what I would have guessed, but no. Knowing me, I don't really know much. I would have probably said, you're right, but no. Can you eat it? I probably wouldn't eat it. But this is actually a seed from it's kind of a seed from a seedless grape, right? So seedless grapes, right? Whatever. So there's a little bit of a seed in there. So it's actually from a little grape, and it's really small. I'm not even sure that it can even grow from this, right? Obviously, I don't know much about plants, so don't ask me. But so these seeds, even if you get a regular seed from a regular fruit, whatever, they're pretty small. There are some bigger seeds, but this is obviously very small. Now, is this seed dead or alive? Or seeds in general, are they dead or alive for the most part? Well, they're not dead. They're just dormant, right? They're kind of sleeping. It's kind of like whenever a bear hibernates. He's not dead. He looks dead, right? But he's alive. So seeds actually are just like taking a nap until you put them in the right environment and they can begin to grow. Now, I also have some plants over here. I'm going to bring one over here, actually. Let me grab this plant here. I got a couple. So I have this plant right here. Petacroton is what they call this plant. So this plant right here is a nice plant, right? And what do I need to do, kids, to keep this plant alive and going? I got to water it. What else? Maybe put it in the sun, making sure that the sun is hitting, right? So that the sun can help it grow as well. Chlorophyll, all that good stuff. What else could I do? Maybe fertilize it. There's different kinds of medicine you can put for your plants. You can maybe, if you had it in your garden, make sure there wasn't weeds or other things growing around it that could affect it or strangle it. Maybe you put a fence around it so people don't step on it. right? So there's all kinds of things that you can do to make sure your plant is growing. Now, if I have this plant, and let's just say, oh, I'm not going to be a nice guy today, and I'm going to take this off. Now, it's no longer connected to the plant. It's disconnected. Do you think this will survive much longer? What would happen to this leaf? It's going to die. So the plant, if the leaf isn't connected to the plant, if it's not connected to the branch that's connected to the roots, what happens? It dies. Now, does it die immediately? Well, yes and no. I mean, not immediately in the sense like it still looks good. It still looks alive. And to anyone, it could be deceived that this is, and I can maybe glue it on here or just stick it like that. And it looks like it's alive. But even though it's close to it, eventually it's going to die. Eventually you will see the evidence that it's not really alive. Eventually it will turn brown or turn crispy. It'll start falling apart. It'll turn white or do whatever. But it won't be alive because it's no longer what? Connected to the main plant. So you have to be connected, right? Because otherwise there's a negative effect with it not being connected. Now, in the Bible, there's a passage, and we read it this morning. Let's just look at it real quick. In the Bible, in the book of John, chapter 15, there is a verse that's very important. Now, I love the book of John. Now, for those of you that are in Pathfinders, this year, the Bible book, the PBE, the Pathfinder Bible Experience book, is the book of John. I love the book of John. The book of John is my favorite from the Gospels. All the Gospels are great, of course, nonetheless. But John is, it's a very, you find a lot of personal conversations that Jesus has with the disciples. I mean, there's not a lot of parables in the book of John. There's some miracles, but not the same level as you find in some of the other Gospels. There's not a lot of references to the Old Testament in the book of John. But John has a lot of intimate personal conversation, whether it's the conversation that Jesus had with Nathanael and Philip, whether it's the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus at night, or the conversation he had with the woman at the well, or the conversation with the man that was sick by the pool of Bethesda, and so on and so on. You find personal one-on-one conversations that Jesus has with individuals who are struggling with something, who are asking something, who are inquiring. So I love the book of John because it's very personal, very, very intimate in a way that maybe the synoptic gospels really aren't. But in this passage, in the book of John, Jesus says something very interesting. John chapter 15, verse 5, he says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For with me, you can do how much," it says? "You can do nothing." So in other words, it's saying, you have to be connected to me. And if you read the rest of the passage, he basically starts talking about, we have to be together. We have to be one and the same because I am the life giver. So he's saying, you have to be connected to me. So it's not just about knowing about Jesus, it's actually knowing Jesus personally, where Jesus is your best friend. Now, there used to be a song, I think it's in Sabbath school, "Jesus is my best friend." You guys remember that song? Maybe you haven't sang that song. I used to sing that song. So we have been called to be friends of Jesus. And a friend you know personally. You have conversations, you'd have discussions, you ask questions, you do things together. And that's what Jesus is calling all of us to do. Now, Benjamin is here chopping up different kinds of fruit. He's got, now he's doing bananas. It seems like he's either done a peach, he's done some strawberries. Did you do the passion fruit? The passion, what is that one? Oh, an actual dragon? Oh, dragon fruit. Okay, so just don't worry, it's just dragon fruit, not an actual dragon. So he's got dragon fruit, he got tangerines, strawberries, grapes, all kinds of stuff. We don't want to eat that one. Let's not eat that one. So this fruit comes from a plant that was connected to the roots, to the stem, ultimately to the point where it became, don't eat that, Isaac, ultimately where it became a fruit. And I'm going to take this fruit right here, for example. What is this? Orange, a tangerine, right? I could eat this. I want to peel it first, but I could eat it, right? And when I eat it, there's what inside? There's seeds. There's seeds inside that I could eat the seeds, but most people probably spit them out or whatever. So the seeds you can use to plant and grow a whole new tree, etc. We all know that story. But would this fruit come from a branch that's not connected to the trunk or the ground? It wouldn't, right? How do we know that? Because we know that for life to exist, as we just with the example of this, and I'm going to be so cruel and I'm going to do another one. So if I take off another one, that one's going to die. If I take, that one's going to die. And I'm not like I'm being a murderer right now, right? So here I am taking all of these things away. And these right here are now disconnected and it looks poor. Now, this is not a fruit plant, but if it was a fruit plant and I begin to just tear it apart, eventually it might be at the point where, okay, and if I start to break off the big pieces and I cut it off there, cut it off there, it doesn't work. It has to have something for it to bear. Now, the soil has to be good, it has to be watered, all these different things. Whenever we are connected to Christ, at some point in our lives, we will begin to bear fruit. Now, I don't know what kind of fruit we are bearing in our lives, but the Bible does say in the book of Galatians chapter 5, right, that there is certain fruit that we can bear. The fruit of the Spirit says it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, we have to evaluate our lives as children and as adults. What are the fruits that we are bearing? What do people see in us? And hopefully it's the fruit of the Spirit and not so much the fruit of some other spirit. Can people see love in your life? Does it say peace? Does it say kindness? What about your spouse or the person that is closest to you? Do they see this fruit? Or is it grumpiness, impatience, hatred, disrespect, rudeness, maliciousness? What kind of fruit do we have in our lives? What kind of fruit do we want to have? Do we want to have the good, delicious fruit? Or the nasty, rotten, ugly fruit? The delicious fruit, right? You know, how many of you guys like fruit? Anybody here like fruit? Would you guys like some fruit this morning? You know, we have a lot of fruit here. And Benjamin, maybe the cups are right there. We can get some cups. It seems these kids look like we went a little long, so they're like super hungry. Let's give them, you guys want some fruit? Okay, I'm gonna, as I'm wrapping up here, I'm going to ask Benjamin and Isaac to help pass out the fruit here. So we have this fruit that we're going to give you guys, a little bit of fruit for you guys to take with you right now and eat. And as you're eating that fruit, remember that fruit came because it was connected all the way through. And for you to have good fruit in your life, you have to be connected to who? To Jesus. And how can I be connected with Jesus? They're reading His Word, being in fellowship with other believers, such as church, with having devotional time at home with your family, having worship time at home with your family, through taking time to pray, through sharing what you have with your friends and sharing Jesus with your friends. It's one way that we can share that we are part of something great. This fruit salad is just a small sample, visual example of what we can have in our lives. We can be something that people say, oh, that's so delicious, that's so great. That's something wonderful to have. Now, I want to give a gift to each of the clubs here today. So, Isaac, actually, if you can get the other one that's over there while you do that. So I have a plant for the Adventure Club. So I'm going to ask the Adventure Director to come up here. So as a reminder that we have to grow together in Christ, the Bible says that we are to grow in the knowledge and the grace, in knowledge of grace of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to give our Adventure Director, and your job is to work with the Adventure kids and their families to make sure that if I come again next year or whatever, that this plant is still alive.
Okay? So now you can't do this on your own. You can be like, oh, I'm going to take it home and I'll do it. This is an adventure club project. So if they want to take it home by family for a couple of weeks, or if you want to keep it at the church and families take care of it, or whatever you want to do, I'll leave that up to your discretion. That's your club. But your club is responsible for this plant for the next 12 months. After that, you can have it. You can do whatever you want with it. You can give it to one of the families, whatever. It's up to you. But this is your adventure club plan. All right? You think you can take care of it, handle it? All right. And then I have another one. Thank you. Now, the Pathfinder director. So the same way you have the responsibility for this next 12 months, 10, 12 months, whatever, to take care of this plants with your Pathfinders, I should say. And again, they can take turns taking it home. You guys can talk about the necessity of growing a plant, what it is to take care of it. And through this plant that you guys would be reminded that we are to grow together in Christ. So it's a team effort. We're growing together and we're growing a plant and we're growing in Christ. So the way we want the plant to grow, we also want to be growing in Christ. So that's your plant to take with you, okay? And as we are closing up here, Benjamin here is finishing up the last cups. And Isaac, if you want to start passing them out to the kids real quick. I want to remind the church that, go ahead. True religion is about relationship. It's about relationship with a God who loves us beyond our imagination. And some might say, well, obedience is important, Pastor. That's something we should talk about. Obedience only comes from a true relationship. You can't have true obedience if there isn't a relationship of love. And the foundation of God's kingdom is based on love. Nothing outside of love is true religion. The only way that we as followers of Jesus Christ can truly live out our Christian experience is if we are followers of Christ, if we are disciples who are filled with love. And if we're not filled with love, we need to ask God to work in our lives, to do a work where what we do is founded on love. And when we're talking about children, those that are here, those that are in the congregation, young people, whatever they may be, that we can, if we teach them anything, that we would teach them how to love the way Jesus loves. How intentional are we as a church to teach our young people the importance and the value of what love is? So when this church does something, when it serves, it's serving the community in love, it's serving each other in love, it's teaching and showing each other what true love is all about. That is the foundation of God's kingdom. I can teach my children a lot of things, but if I have taught them not love, I have not taught them anything. And you have to be intentional. Lessons don't come necessarily by accident, at least not always. So as we move forward as a church, with our young people, as we move forward as a church in general, may the foundation of that be left. May we be connected to Christ in a way that is intentional. I pray that each and every one of us can have a relationship with Christ that is deep to its roots. Not a superficial, once-a-week kind of relationship, not if it's going great, yes. No, a relationship with God that is foundational, because we are to be connected to Him if we are to have any kind of success in this church, if we are to have success in our personal journey, in our Christian walk with Jesus. Again, I want to thank the Adventure team, the Pathfinder team, for what you do, for TLT. It's always exciting to see young people passionate about ministry, passionate about church, passionate about God, passionate about Jesus. And just continue to encourage this church to move forward in love and everything that it does, that your personal relationship with Jesus is true, is tried and tested. The Bible says that we are to test ourselves to see if we are in the faith. And if we're not in the faith, that we would seek God and ask Him for help. Pray for the Holy Spirit upon each other. The Bible says in the book of Luke that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more would the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Are you asking for the Holy Spirit? Are you asking for the Holy Spirit? Let's bow our heads and let's have a word of prayer and just thank God for what He has done and what He is doing, and allow Him to live in our lives every day. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for everyone that is here today. Father, everyone here is your child, both young and old, and you love us all. Father, forgive us for the times where we have forsaken you, where we have forsaken a relationship with you, or maybe we have rebelled in our hearts in one way or another. Father, just continue to show us your love, to remind us of your love. And Father, may we be inspired and encouraged by that love that we can just turn around and love people around us, especially our family first and foremost, but our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, that love would just be gushing out of us because of such a strong relationship with you. That our children would see the love of Jesus because they have seen us. That the community would see love because they have been connected to this church. Father, we want to love the way you have loved us. We're only human. We're so limited and there's so much evil in our hearts. But praise be to God because you desire to transform and change us and give us a new heart. Be with us today. Bless us and bless everyone here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.